On this season of Green Shirt, a newbie's trek through the next generation.
Commander, it seems that the subject Cameron has never watched Star Trek TNG.
The crew continues their education of a pop culture anomaly.
How am I still wet after coming out of the holodeck?
Geordi, how many minutes do we have to talk about the holodeck before the ship explodes?
Rob must grapple with the laws of quantum intimacy.
Did he just have sex with that alien?
God, no, Cameron, I assure you that nothing more than kissing happened.
Horny organs.
Bobby travels forward in time.
Crush, got a candle?
What's the candle for?
Season 7. Minutes in heaven.
And producer John attempts to keep the ship from falling apart.
Rob, he tasks me. No, he really doesn't.
What an exciting season of Green Shirt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Green Shirt, a newbie's trek through the next generation. I am Cameron, who just cannot stop scowling at the version of myself that never watched TNG growing up. And here to show me what could have been the funny British guy to my Gwyneth Paltrow, Rob.
Oh, Pip Pip, who's this?
It's from Sliding Doors. The guy from The Mummy, thank you very much.
Yeah, so I thought it was.
Clean your chimney, Gov. Can I clean your chimney, Governor?
Nailed it.
No. Never saw Sliding Doors.
The Rachel McAdams to my Bill Weasley, Miss Bobby Blue.
Not gonna do it, don't care. Can't I just suck at this, so...
These are pretty.
That's about time. That was pretty obscure.
Okay.
And the Owen Wilson and Miss Minutes to my Loki, Rihanna and Ashlyn from the Duras sisters.
Kapla. Hey.
The Duras sisters podcast, I should specify, not just the
not from the sisters.
Entities.
Yeah. We wish we were related to them in some way, but alas, yes.
Kapla.
Kapla to you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And the man who monitors our distortion field to prevent any awkward echoes, producer John T. Bolds.
Man, I got to say, if any of you were to get transported duplicated, who would I want to be trapped down there lonely? And oh, it's Rob. Rob, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, I knew it. Wait, I don't know if I trust you not to drop me in the pit, though.
Oh, dang it.
Now, Rihanna, Ashlyn, what is your history with Star Trek? I assume you enjoy it.
Have you watched it before?
Just a few times, yeah. Here and there, you know. No, we actually started watching Star Trek with our dad. We would watch reruns of TOS growing up. I remember our first episode, at least my first episode, was the Changeling with Nomad on his little string. It was phenomenal. But I was confused, right? And so our mom was actually the one to kind of get us into Star Trek via the movies. Ashlyn, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we saw a trailer for Star Trek 2009, and mom looked at us expecting us to freak out, and we had no idea what was going on. And she had a crusade that week. I think it was spring break. We watched all of the TOS movies, and then we were prepared for Star Trek 2009. And after that, we lost our minds. We watched TOS, TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise, all through middle school and high school. And since Disco came out, we've been keeping up with the new Trek. And we decided to start our podcast because we talk about Star Trek for hours. And during the pandemic, we were like, you know what? We should probably record this. But instead of doing a traditional watch-along podcast, we go through Star Trek through series lens. So we started out with the pilot series. So we watched the pilot of every series and discussed it. And then we've done, I think we're on our 11th series right now.
I think 11th is right.
Yeah. We've done movie series, feminism,
Time travel.
Yeah.
Romance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Love and affection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a journey.
Riker's beard.
Yes. We did a first officer series too. We talked a lot about the beard.
That was a really good series.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
It's a novel approach. That's a great idea for.
And it's fun because they put out a watch list for everybody. Because each episode is per Trek series. So there's a TOS episode
but
each one covers multiple episodes of that, so they give a watch list first, and sometimes the watch lists are like 20 episodes out of the whole series.
It's sometimes taxing. In 1 week I think we had like almost 30 episodes for the holodeck Voyager, and it was insanity, but also just so much fun to like fill your evenings and every corner of your day with Star Trek watching and preparing. So
when we had John on the podcast.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What was that? It was so much fun.
It was the time travel one. Because yeah. it was yes. like we talked about O'Brien and stuff that happens in DS9.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. So epic. Go check out the time travel DS9 episode. You'll have a blast. Yeah.
We'll get speaking there. Of which, are there more holodeck episodes in Voyager than TNG?
Way yes. more.
They're in they're in a whole other quadrant. There's interesting stuff to see.
They've got nothing to do, I guess. I
they're
don't know.
So bored. We had a whole like honorable mention where they were just in the holodeck for like 3 minutes, and we just had to list the episodes because it was so overwhelming.
So many.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, somehow in an episode with two Rikers, this one does not have any holodeck. Disappointingly so.
Yeah.
That's right. This week we watched Second Chances. It's a good title, but probably not punny enough for this podcast. So what have we got? Anyone want to start off?
You're going to hate me for this, Sean? But I have two titles.
Okay.
Either number one, number two, or number two, number one.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah, I really struggled, like Easy Riker, which is like Easy Rider, but that doesn't really make any sense. That could be any Riker episode.
Right.
But, you know, of course, you know, but there was like Riker Mice from Mars, which also doesn't make any sense.
I thought the exact same thing.
Oh, that's funny.
I somehow came up with that same title. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
And then two Rikers, one cup, but that's not good either. I mean, these are like, so,
well,
but then like
actually,
this could.
I think that's really good, in my opinion. Yeah.
Two Rikers, one trombone.
Because, oh, and there's also there's also one cup, and we know who that is.
Well, and that's the other thing. If this episode had gone a different way, this would have been the episode that's Menage a Troy. But
true.
Right.
I've got two. I've got cloning, moaning, and tromboning.
Oh.
And my copy ruined my relationship while I was left for dead for 8 years. And all I got was this lousy trombone.
Nice.
Nice.
I like
a good
one. I like very that. Nice.
Might be the longest Star Trek title yet.
It's a long. There's some long ones too.
I'll do a t-shirt.
I didn't come up with shit because I didn't understand. I just didn't.
It's okay. I usually
and
don't.
I'm also a twin, so maybe I'm also like so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Matter.
That's going to be an interesting perspective. Yeah.
Except I grew up with my twin, so there's also that. So.
What if your twin was cast away on a remote planet for 8 years?
Don't take away my castaway joke in the future. I have a castaway.
No,
we each have a castaway joke.
I don't.
Rihanna, Ashlyn, any?
Yeah, I had two. I have Return of Riker. The Riz is real. And then I also just had Similitude, which is an Enterprise title.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a
very similar plot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I had Second Act Breakup. And
That's good. That's so good.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I also had Double Toil and Thomas.
Oh,
I did add in some Shakespeare because they always have Shakespeare going.
Yeah.
Great.
He's the English major, so that would count. Yeah, the tracks.
What can I say?
Me too, but I don't know anything. I don't know shit about Shakespeare.
Fair.
Neither does Riker.
I somehow managed to study movies in English.
Nice,
as an English
major.
I feel like these are some of the best titles for a show. I didn't think there'd be that good of titles. So bravo.
Nice work.
I mean, I had one. My wife told me not to use it, but I'll say it anyway because it's a podcast. It's my podcast.
Yeah.
Will they? Will they?
Nice.
That's not bad.
This is layers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet there's a won't they pun somewhere.
I couldn't. But I couldn't.
We'll figure it out by the end.
Yeah. I couldn't finish it.
Will they bone they?
Bone.
Trombone, you guys. Shame on you.
Perfect.
All right.
Well, let's begin with a nice long shot of Ensign Gozer. She gets some nice screen time walking into 10-4. It's going to be a Gozer episode, right? Ensign J. That's my name for Ensign J. The Duras sisters are looking at me blankly. And Riker's playing his bone up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wearing his like silk pajama top.
Yeah.
Everybody looks really comfortable. Like the costumes at 10-4, it's like, oh, yes, everybody actually looks like they're lounging in the lounge. Yeah. It works.
Yeah, I don't love the pajama top. Personally, I think,
it's
you know.
Not sexy. That's not jazzy. I mean, it's jazzy, but it's not sexy.
Yeah. It's a little off-putting when he's in his, like, little comfy top on the bridge. That like really unsettles me.
Right.
You're not wrong there. Yeah.
He's ready to slide right into bed, and I don't like it because Bev and Troy look great at the bar. I feel like they're fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Let's not like pass through that. It opens up. We already did pass them because we get to see the women before Will Riker, and we're already talking about them. Let's talk about that like opening scene where you see shoulders.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I am suddenly really feel the urge. I wish that Riker was wearing like a pork pie hat and like a checkered tie and was in a ska band. That's what I want right now from my ska past. That's what I'm really, maybe one day. Ska Trek.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. That's good.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
and you know, he's picking it up.
Troy just yelling, "Sell out!"
Yeah. Troy was like, "Yeah, shouting some deep cut."
I was trying to think of a ska song, and I couldn't. I couldn't think of a single ska song.
Do the impression that I get.
Yeah. I love the space bass that mm-hmm. the bassist is playing. She's also really eye acting while she does.
I think all the musicians were actually playing too. I was keeping an eye on it as a musician myself. It seemed like the fingerings were right and everything was matching up. And Riker, I've seen interviews where Frake says that he can play the trombone and he's played since he was 9. But so anything that sounds like him playing is him. But for the fancy stuff, they hired someone. I think his name is like Bill Watros to do all this. So I think the solo stuff is a double. But he had the rhythm right. Like he knew what he was doing. So. Yeah. It's impressed.
You could have told us that his name was Bill Trombone, we would have believed you.
Yeah, yeah.
Ashlyn, what do you play instrument-wise?
I'm a classical singer, but I'm married to a trumpet player, and I've seen it all, man. So,
So yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Those trumpet players.
Oh, yeah. Just hearing brass in my hat, I hear it all the time. So, yeah.
Spit valves, gross, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mouthpieces everywhere.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. House is covered in mouthpieces.
Yes, yes.
It's better than having some nasty reeds everywhere, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I played sax. I hate it. I don't want to do it now.
No.
The idea of licking dry wood really does not appeal to me now.
Oh. I have a cat piano out in my living room.
So yes.
I don't know. Nightbird. That was a Freebird reference, right?
Nightbird.
Totally.
Gotta be.
Is
it Nightbird? Maybe Nightbird's a real song.
I thought Nightbird was a real song. I'll look it up.
I was going to Google it, but there's probably 30 songs called Nightbird, guys. Yeah.
I didn't think of Freebird until just now, so I don't know. If Troy had said Nightbird, if she had to say it a certain way.
Yeah, Nightbird.
She had to say it that way.
It is a real song.
Nightbird's a real song.
Yep.
That's what I thought. Does it wonder if it has a difficult trombone solo?
Right. You have to look for that to see if it's the actual reference.
Play the song, legit, John.
Yeah. Okay.
Sing it.
Pretty embarrassing that he never has mastered the solo in 10 years, though. Like, buddy, not focused on his trombone.
Maybe if he had been stranded on a planet, he could have.
There we go. Yes. Yeah.
I kept waiting for Thomas to, grab the trombone and just nail it.
Well, Thomas didn't have shit to do.
Oh, yeah, when he gets a trombone, he'd be like, watch this, Nightbird!
That's how he gets Troy.
Thomas Riker's probably not good at anything. All he's good at now is just drinking his own pee. That's there's nothing down there to do. There's no trombone.
He really knows what to drink before drinking your urine to make it taste good.
He's really good with upkeeping his beard and hair, evidently, because he doesn't look like a castaway. Yeah. He looks exactly
I don't know. Bedhead Part 2 was my other title for the episode.
True.
I do like this cold open, though. It does a nice job of establishing both the trombone and Riker and Troy's relationship, which, of course, continue through the episode.
She's fucking with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would she really want to publicly embarrass him like this, though?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I think a little bit, yeah.
Your ex, who's also kind of your bestie, that's definitely the relationship you have.
I think that's the vibe, yeah.
I think it's great.
And I have those relationships, and you do.
I never thought of her as a rascal before, that's all. I think that's great.
You do kind of hit back on those little things. You're like, and what about that thing you said 8 years when we were together, but now we're not together. It's been 6 years. We're totally healed. We're totally happy. We're like, I have really good friends. That's how real relationships are when you move past the breakup and you still are actually healthy friends.
Props to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's only one ex that I'm healthy with, but thank you.
Oh. Impressive to even have one. Yeah.
Is it me?
Yeah, like that's an accomplishment. Yeah.
But I mean, no, it's Marcy. like when that opened up, I was like, oh, they're gonna start the Riker, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the one about the other Riker. Oh shit,
Yellow Riker.
Yeah. Yellow Riker.
Yellow. Yeah. Is he security or engineering? Did they say that?
Yeah, they kind of seem to imply it was a ranking thing, the colors here, as opposed to division. Yeah. I don't know.
It was a white uniform, but he's been drinking some of his own pee. I'm sorry.
It's I'm rusted so sorry. Over. I don't know. He came right from the motion picture and
he's been wearing that outfit. He's been wearing that outfit all 8 years, and he's just yellowed with age. Yeah. That's gross.
Unlike his teeth. He's very well kept for being stranded for 8 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, Riker.
No Tom Hanks at the end of Castaway, for sure.
When he's interrupted by the comm badge, I thought, wouldn't that be funny if he kept the recording of that just to get out of any situation? Like, he just has, like, it preset to a... He, like, taps a little button in his pocket or something, and it says, like, Riker to the bridge! And he just get out of any situation.
Red alert!
Oh, sorry, smart. Red alert, gotta go.
Riker, of all people, would definitely have that.
Totally.
Programmed to only respond whenever... Nightbird. It detects Deanna saying the words Nightbird.
Yeah. There's the first three notes of Nightbird and chimes
yep.
in. Yes. He's ready at his wedding. He's like, let's go. I'm not playing this. Yeah.
Well, he goes up to the bridge. Turns out Data and Geordi have knocked out the shield generator down on Endor, and they're able to beam down sooner than expected.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess whatever is making the transporters tricky is making shuttles absolutely impossible. Is that what we're to believe?
Yeah, there's not a mention of a single shuttle.
No. Not a peep. I'm sorry. I stopped caring about science as soon as I saw a double Riker. And then I didn't pay attention to anything else scientific after that, honestly.
That's too bad, because this episode had a lot of scientific in it.
Really? Decent science stuff, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just finished our engineering series, so I'm in the habit of writing down all of the technobabble that I hear, and I caught myself. I was like, the distortion field is causing a double image, and I was like, Ashlyn, you can chill.
It doesn't matter. Like, it's all right. Yeah. I feel you. Yeah.
But because you write that down, did you pick up on anything that we might have missed?
Not really. I think they do a good job visually explaining, like, there's two beams that Riker got taken up in, and then the other one was the same frequency as the distortion field, which is a crazy coincidence. And so that they synced up, and that's how Riker was able to form and keep his like energy state together on the planet. So two Rikers were created. Crazy.
Yeah, which I wonder if they could. I mean, you think about it, if somebody could recreate that and create it like an army, if the bad guy discovers how to do this. But they could also just clone themselves, right? Like a KS.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the scientific explanation for like the differentiation between clones and just another Riker.
Yeah, right.
I agree with that.
Which Picard. Is, yeah.
Picard was concerned. He was like, are you sure this is not a clone?
Yeah. You know how I feel about those filthy clones.
Yeah.
This is just another example of Starfleet putting their outposts on like the worst planets. You know, it'd be a really terrible planet to put a post on. Let's put one there.
Yeah, that doesn't make any
ones
sense.
Ones that have firestorms every couple of weeks. Ones with no gravity.
You can only once in a while you can get people off of there.
Every eight years, it's
like the worst.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And did they ever explain like why? What did they mine? Like. Crystalline.
Yeah, whatever this data is really important, and we never know what it is. It's just the MacGuffin stick.
Literally. But they get it at the end, right? The Rikers.
Thank God, because it was important. Apparently.
Apparently.
Hopefully, it was data on how to design outpost stations well and not have to go outside and underneath the station to do anything important.
Yeah.
That's essential.
But they go down there. We establish that Yellow Riker is a neat freak. And there's a really weird shot to a door for some reason. I was that shot had me reeling for like the first 10 minutes. I was like, what was so important about that door?
The patch he put on?
Yeah.
I think it was
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it seem to you to take too long for them to figure out it was a transporting issue?
Because they need to establish that like this isn't normal, even though we know that the transporter causes random things all the time. Like in universe, it is supposed to be incredibly rare.
Sorry, I guess we haven't actually gotten to second Riker yet.
He walks out. Yeah.
Before we jump ahead, because Commander Riker also starts the episode, but is this the first time we can see gray in his beard, or is it because it's been...
I feel like we saw some in Frame of Mind.
Really?
I think. We should check the beard tracker. John, have you checked on the blog, the beard tracker?
I'll double check right now.
I know that's stupid, but I was like, whoa, silver. And then also Thomas Riker, Lieutenant Riker also has it. I was like, whoa, like aging twinsness, but you're not twins.
How long did it take you guys to notice the different beards?
There weren't different beards.
No, they were different.
He had beard prosthetics.
It took me like half the episode. Yeah.
Thank you, Ashley. Me too. I was like, what? Wait, at first I thought it was the bedhead that made him look different. Why are they looking different?
No, once he brushed his hair, I was like, wait, something's going on with the beards. And I had to, I was watching closely. Yeah.
I liked it. And I mean, it was pretty good makeup for SD, but in high def, I was like, oh, yeah, there's the fake there beard. Is, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I missed that. Wow. I missed that.
Yeah, his yellow Riker's is more filled in, and red Riker's is very, like...
much more groomed, yeah.
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 They should have given yellow Riker a full Rip Van Winkle, just, like...
just crazy hair.
Yeah.
Without being on the Enterprise, would Thomas Riker, Lieutenant Riker, even have a beard? Maybe he's still shaving.
Right.
Well, he shaves with a phaser, so he can't get too close. It's the same phaser he etches with.
I was going to say, he's pretty handy with the phaser. He makes some artwork with it. So.
Yeah, that was impressive. Mm-hmm.
That's what he's been honing his skills on.
Yeah, but don't you think Lieutenant Riker would have, like, had, like, a Tom Hanks Castaway beard?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And, like, long hair and looked like, and had more wrinkles and been like, I haven't eaten anything really forever.
He's amazingly well healthy physically and mentally for being stranded here for 8 years.
Right. Yeah. Mentally, that's what I was thinking.
And then they could have taken him to Mott. Mott would have been like, look, you look... Do you want to look like the other Riker? Do you want to look at your Riker? And he'd be like, whatever the fuck. And they'd be like, you look at the other Riker. Like, at least he should have had a choice.
Yeah.
Well, his replicator broke a while back, but maybe he had a holodeck to keep himself busy.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. We did not see a lot of important parts of this outpost.
Maybe he made a ball out of all of his beard trimmings, and that was his Wilson. He had to have something to keep him sane.
He fucked, like, the lowest... like pixelated Deanna Troi he did for 8 years.
Yeah, it's like an etched Deanna Troi in the holodeck.
I was gonna say, we saw one piece of the art he made. We did not see the other 8 years worth of art. Yeah.
He dropped the rest of that in the hole before they got there.
Look, there's a book of George O'Keefe paintings, Dean, I swear.
That's why he was trying to stay behind when they were... Please, just give me 5 minutes.
Trying to delete his browser history.
Exactly. Which is, delete his browser history, which is dropping pictures into a pit.
Okay, well, yeah, I knew there was a Riker clone transporting episode. I knew this was coming at some point. This is pretty different from what I was expecting. I was expecting, like we would see the clone manifest in this episode and we'd kind of be dealing with this. This is a lot more interesting, this episode, this premise.
Theory, yes.
Yes. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But the premise itself, really good. One of our Twitter followers, DS9 Fan Club, says, at the time, it was a bit more of a novel premise. At this point, it's truly cliche. I'm guessing he's talking about, like, all the multiverse stories out there now. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but... I would say this is pretty different because, like, a multiverse version of yourself is very different from, like, this is, like, it had me thinking, like, wait, is the Riker we know a copy? Wait, no, they're both real. What does that mean? Like, there's existential, like, questions raised by this that I think are really interesting. Like, to have one of your main characters, like, this character we know and love has been stranded on a planet for 8 years and you would think been through hell, even though he seems pretty well adjusted.
And they don't say it's a clone. It's not a double. It's some weird space-time thing. It's him.
Same age, same experiences up to that point. Yeah.
What's kind of crazy is that when they were writing this, they at least Jerry Taylor thought that, why don't we kill off Commander Riker and let Lieutenant Riker take over. But then they realize, well, he wouldn't have had the experience that makes
Then our Riker really would have died. Yeah,
and you wouldn't have believed anything that Lieutenant Riker did as Commander Riker passed that, and it, what would be the point, you know? But that's kind of funny they considered like killing off Commander Riker. I feel like
that could work in season one or two, but in six it's almost too late because then you can have like a, they never would do season long arcs, but wouldn't that be fun to have Riker like, you know, working hard in engineering and Data's just crushing it as first officer for a season? But
well, you know who did do that? Beer Fest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Just call me Landfill 2.
And The Simpsons did it too.
Simpsons did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they?
Yeah, with Fit Tony and Fat Tony. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking about, because it's Riker and Worf and Data that are initially down there. And then
some
rando
in the background.
Some rando, And Riker tells Worf, you take him up there and tell Picard what is going on. And I'm like, that's a hell of a report. Like, we have a second Riker? Sorry? We didn't scan for life forms?
Everyone's reaction to this is so bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think there'd be like a... you know, a text message to Picard, be like, be prepared for a non-sexier version of me coming back.
No one prepares anyone for anything in this episode. No. This whole episode is all about the surprise.
Hey, if you see a guy looking like me, trust me, he's uglier. I mean, anything. I don't know. Like, you would have sent something. The only people that seem like pretty cool with it are like Worf and Data, who are like, we're still observing.
Well, that's good because that's all they do in this episode.
Right.
Is observe and observe and observe.
They have one insightful conversation.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
But you know who has a lot to do this episode? LeVar Burton, who directed this one.
Oh, really? Yeah. Hooray. I missed that.
And it seems kind of fascinating that. That they would give such a technically challenging episode to, was this his first one or had he done one before?
His first directorial
efforts was like one where the two main characters can't play off each other.
Sure.
And some tricky shots too. Like, it was done pretty well. Some of the performances I have questions about, but I don't know if that was him or not.
Some of the shots were a little weird, but LeVar did a pretty good job for such a very hard episode to direct. I mean, that's not easy.
And I think the second time I watched it, I picked up a more sub. I think it's a lot. This episode has a lot of subtext. It doesn't say a lot out loud. And maybe that's just because it's the premise is so deep and has so many things you can talk about.
I think that's what I like about it is there's more subtext, like subtleties. Like I like that because sometimes the show is just too like, you know? And this one is not like the greatest episode, but I like the tenor of the like reverberations happening between people. Because even Worf, it's like, you think Worf be like, who are you? You are not my friend and I will battle you. Like, and and Worf doesn't get that scene, you know, like, and Geordi, like, you can see them being uncomfortable and Data's like, I'm curious, but like none of them get to interact with Thomas, Lieutenant, you know, Riker. Mm-hmm. And that would have been really fun. Like, I also think this could have been a fun, maybe it's not worth a two episode.
I think it could have been. I mean,
I think it could have been too.
I feel like what makes this episode lesser on like the scale of all the wonderful TNG episodes for me is the fact that it's so romance based and so focused on Riker and Troy. And I think like, Thomas and Troy, I guess. But either way, I feel like there's a great, you know, there's a lot of drama and great history we get from that. You know, it's definitely a like juicy episode, which is great. But I feel like a lot of it is just like Thomas kind of forcing himself on Troy and it's not fun to watch. Like she's clearly like in the beginning, especially like, why are you just picking me up and kissing me when I open the door the first time you see me? Like, that's just creepy energy, my dude. Like, let's not, you know? And so I feel like a lot of that is just so focused on Thomas making these proclamations of love and, oh, I'll stay with you, and then yeets right out of there, you know, bye. It's so disingenuous, and I really don't like that is sort of the course that this plot took, you know, and especially because
even,
we could have had.
Even as it develops?
I like the drama of it, but I think that, like, even so, it's just so like, okay, Riker's still gonna Riker. He's still gonna leave Troy for his career, you know, and that's sort of like that's the fate, quote unquote. And that's interesting, but I would have loved more of those interactions with the other crew and maybe make it more of a balanced episode and not as much just about the romance. Mm-hmm. So,
but it was fun to see the romance play out in according to a backstory that of a thing you've been told about as a viewer.
A lot of lore was like dug up this year.
Yeah, so this is the first time you get to see it, but it's not through Commander Riker.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, interesting. And I was a fan of the romance. I love the scavenger hunt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. Like, I say a lot of dick jokes, but, you know, my heart flows first. Okay. Like, I love romance.
I may have done some scavenger hunts with just as cheesy rhyme schemes for my wife, too. So I relate with that.
My favorite clue is when there's the letter is on the warp core. Like, Troy is reaching over the little fence. She's touching it.
Jordy is like, excuse me.
With her bare hands. And he's like, ma'am, can I help you?
Well, is there a problem with the chief engineer not knowing there's an alien object on his warp core? Yeah.
Jordy's like, we gotta like tighten up. Jordy's saying, I gotta tighten up my shit here. Like, what do you mean? There's paper, there's ribbon attached to it, and maybe a little metal thing.
Yeah. Well, this is great because I, like I said, love the premise, but I wasn't totally sold on the episode. I wasn't sure why. So I'm going to be interested hearing
it. I know why.
It sounds like people have different feelings about why, too. So
I know why. For me, mm-hmm. it's I don't like watching Riker be a dick to Riker for a big part of the episode.
Yes.
What I really want, I wanted there to be more of a journey. I wanted both Rikers to be like, oh, this is fun because I'm Riker and I find joy in everything. And then like the tension starts to ratchet and then they see things they don't like about each other. And then at the end, they
don't
have
you
to
think that would
them.
Happen to you if all of a sudden
100%. And that's why I wanted that from this episode.
And Millie was like, bye, Commander Cameron. Hello, Lieutenant Cameron. It can happen. Like, you're like, oh, you weren't here that 8 years where you kind of broke my heart and did all these things. But, and then you go back to the person that you were still in love with in a big way. I mean, I would feel bad
for stranded Rob. I would be like, oh, man, can I imagine myself trapped there? That would suck.
I'd be nice to her at least.
I'd be like, girly, do you need some therapy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I was stranded Rob, I'd want to know what I did with my life. Like, mm-hmm. This is a fascinating opportunity for both of them. And just like the first instinct to be like,
right. And immediately like cranked up to 11 on the.
Okay. Yeah. I think that is kind of my big hang up.
Riker's not fun to watch. Riker's way better than cranky Riker.
Yeah.
I do think Commander Riker was trying for like 1 minute when they were together on the planet, like working together. Mm-hmm. He was like, I think we should tell Dad about this. But like Riker has so many daddy issues. I know he like solved them when he like had the combat.
Somehow solved that with more fighting.
Yeah, that's not really solving your daddy issues, but he's in a better place than Thomas is in. And so even that like olive branch he tries to extend, Thomas is like, nope, I'm not talking to Dad. Yeah. Sorry, bro.
That was my favorite scene.
Which is fair.
That's it. Which is also fair.
Valid.
It's very fair. Yeah.
Riker should have ambo-jitsued Riker.
Yes.
They should have ambo-jitsued.
That's what this is missing. This is what the two-parter would have, is the ambo-jitsu. Yes.
Yeah.
That would have been a much easier effect to pull off with the blindfold helmet.
Bottle episode. The sequel would be a bottle episode on the ambo-jitsu arena.
Yeah. We need the short trek. Yeah.
You could also argue that like for a character like Will Riker, who doesn't really get that big of a backstory up to the end of season six, or right at the end of season six, and also like you don't get to really explore like the love story with Deanna Troi, this is her chance to not only show that backstory and that love interest and also the mistakes, decisions he made, but also like family relations. Like this is where you get like pretty much most of Riker's backstory in this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to
in theory.
By comparing him to a self that didn't experience the things he experienced in the next 8 years. And so I find that psychologically really interesting.
See, I wanted that scene. I wanted that, like, oh, so let's see. I got my arm cut off once by aliens. They cut into my eyeball, and I was put in an alien insane asylum, and I had to, like, fire on Captain Picard because he was a Borg right. once. Oh, by the way, yeah. Borg exists. Yeah.
Well, yeah, at the end of the poker scene, when he's like, oh, you always get the winning hand. I had made a list yeah. of, like, yeah, well, Thomas, you may have been stranded for 8 years, but here's a list. Fell in love with an alien who wound up having forced gender reassignment surgery, had to wear that Angel One dress, got framed for rape and murder. Like, you missed out on yeah. a few things, Tom, that you're probably happy you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. You broke your arm, mine got cut off.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jesus. Was Jonathan Frakes, like, angling for an Emmy and bribed the writers? Because between this and Frame of Mind, like, he has been doing some heavy lifting the past few episodes.
I mean, you were reminding me when we saw Geordi, I was like, you know what? That's Geordi hasn't done shit for so long. And I just checked it. Episode 13, Aquiel was the last time Geordi yeah. was. I can't remember Geordi doing anything.
That's then why they
was,
gave him a that, directing episode.
A Troy. After that is a Troy episode, then Picard and Tapestry.
Oh, it was Picard. Yeah.
Some Data, you know, Data and Worf and Birthright, then Worf and Birthright 2, and then Picard and Starship Mine, Picard and Lessons, Bev Crusher in The Chase, Bev Crusher in, or Riker in Frame of Mind, Picard Crusher in Suspicions,
but yeah.
Worf in Rightful Heir. Right. Yeah, you're right, Picard in The Chase. Sorry, yeah. She's pictured in the listing.
Well, maybe Geordi shouldn't get better yeah. writing if he can't see a love note hanging on the crystal. Like, I mean, maybe.
Bobby, he's blind. Maybe that guy... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So insensitive. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh. All right. Well, we've got an audio clip from when he goes up to the med bay and gets checked out.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this. And in the meantime, you'll be taken to your quarters. Try and make yourself as comfortable as possible.
I will.
I can. I'm so sorry.
Hi, Rob. Nice. All right.
It's a long road to go for that.
I hate your joke.
It's fair. It's fair.
Wow.
Do you no longer like Cameron anymore?
What's my rating?
No.
Yeah, did you lose a point there? 2 points? What?
Cam, you're at least always a B minus.
All right.
But you have them flow up to A plus. Okay.
It sounds about right. That sounds right. So Troy goes to see Yellow Riker, doesn't warn him. I mean, this is where, okay, yes, Rihanna, like, the kiss is pretty awkward.
Oh, it's a bad kiss.
Yeah.
Troy has a lot of awkward kisses. Can she have
poor Troy.
Not problematic kiss.
I wish they would just write her better roles, yeah. like in general.
Is it the height difference? Is that part of it? I don't know. But to be fair to him, like, she didn't warn him.
Yeah,
he had
shocking.
Every reason to think he waited for her for 8 years. Maybe not. I don't know. It's definitely a castaway situation.
Yeah. He did a pretty good job for realizing, like, what? I was there for 8 years, and he could have been, like, throwing shit. He'd be like, my heart! And instead he's like, okay, cool. See you next time. I'm going to make a scavenger hunt.
He was there for 8 years, and in his defense, the planet is symbolic of the size of his blue balls as well.
For sure, yeah.
You know.
I mean, he probably he had ways down there. I mean, he was probably okay.
He had his ball of hair made love to.
Oh, boy. I
mean, Will Riker, I mean, you know, someone every episode. So, yeah. Poor Thomas,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to change a man.
Yeah,
for real. He's a different person. That's where the Thomas comes from.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And in the end, he ends up taking a mission where he's going, like, it's a very remote mission. Like, yeah, he'll be on a ship, but he's not going to be, you know, in Sector 001 around billions of people.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they beam back down to the planet. Is this where we get Mae Jemison?
Yes.
Astronaut Mae Jemison.
Yes. I'm screaming. Woo-hoo. I was so excited.
Love her.
Totally missed her the first time.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It must have been a timing thing to put her in this episode because it's not a very, like, NASA-y episode. No, but yeah.
They're probably like, just, hey, you're available. Okay.
You want to be on Star Trek? Fuck yeah.
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 That's why I'm an astronaut. Yeah.
But they made a point, like, I guess she said that Nichelle Nichols' character on the original series mm-hmm. really meant a lot for her. And they invited her on set, so they got to meet on set, which is pretty cool.
I saw a picture of the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that that's amazing? Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, Nichelle did so much for NASA. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My notes aren't great around this point, so I don't know if we've gotten to the whatever it was. Something reminded me that, like, William Riker got this mission got him promoted. And so yeah. Thomas should get promoted since he also did the same mission. Yeah. Like, there's no reason not true. To immediately promote him.
He should get promoted and a Purple Heart.
Yeah, like right. for surviving.
Yeah, he should at least be a lieutenant commander.
Yes. Yeah. It's only fair since he did the same heroism. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And had to stay there longer. And Ashley and I always talk about this. Like, they never address the psychological effects of this stuff, especially if it's like nearing the end of an episode. Like, we joke a lot about Voyager. You know, Seven of Nine goes through this harrowing thing, and Janeway's personal log supplemental is like, but she'll be fine in a few weeks. And it's just droll, you know.
That's a good Janeway.
Yeah. So it feels similar, you know, that like they just brush aside that. It reminds me of that Lower Decks quote where it's like, oh, this is the 80s. Like, we don't have therapy, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Truly, yes, they have Troy, but like Troy should not be doing his therapy anyway.
Are there no other counselors on the ship to go talk to?
That's a conflict of interest to only have Troy there.
100%.
Yeah.
Can the replicators make antidepressants? I mean, maybe you just self-medicate.
I would think Crusher can hook you up. She's got the stuff, you know? Right.
But you can just kind of experiment with it on your own if you just.
I mean, they have technology that gets rid of criminal thoughts. They must have technology to get rid of depressive thoughts. I don't know. Did you guys catch the moment where Jonathan Frakes forgot which Riker he was playing?
Yep.
No.
Because Red Riker sits down in a chair normally.
Oh,
interesting.
Does he always do the Riker? I mean,
I don't.
I wonder. 100%. We got.
He swiveled the chair to him so he could sit it down normally. That just felt wrong.
John, check the Riker blog. Check the Riker sitting site. We got Riker's beard site where we track that, and then we're going to track the
RikerManeuver.com. Yeah,
right. We'll check that.
I can tell you that when they transport back down, they both have their feet in the same position.
Oh,
okay. So that was ingrained
early. Nature.
That was nurture. Yeah.
I think they made a point to when they get transported down together, they step on and they absolutely like stay on the exact same way.
Yeah. Good little touches. They did the best they could with split screen in the early 90s. Like,
well, so yeah, the I gave you an order, Mr. line, which. Right. Is a little awkward. Like, on one hand, I can't figure out how they did the shot, because they did something very similar with Brent Spiner a couple episodes ago, but like you could tell the arm was off screen and here it's not. So I don't really know how they did it, but the eye line is just, it's pretty terrible.
The eye line is off and the voice is not synced up with "I gave you an order, mister." For some reason, they've never gone and fixed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
Not the shot you want to feel wonky. Like, that's the shot you want to be pretty slick.
Maybe that's why I feel so weird at, like, this macho thing they both have going on. Like, it just keeps going. And then with the audio off, it's just overwhelming.
Just like,
Yeah.
And, like, okay, who is more right in this scene? Because I'm on Thomas Riker's side all the way in this argument. It's like, he is the expert in this station. Like, you should listen to, at least take some of his suggestions, Will. And if he's saying he wants to stay and work on it, let him stay and work on it.
Like, Riker's shutting down. He really likes shutting things down lately, because he shut down like Picard's girlfriend a little bit, you know, like a couple
episodes ago. He's trying to shut Bev down and suspicions. Yeah. Like,
He's been a streak of shutting things down.
I'm Team Red Riker here. Like, he is the commander. Yellow Riker's still in Starfleet. He still has to take orders.
They've got a job
and
to do, Cameron.
He understands what's going on. He just thinks it's too dangerous. He doesn't want to leave the guy who got stranded and copied here vulnerable to that happening again for another 8 years.
But he doesn't know how dangerous it is, and Yellow Riker does.
Well, then they can go up and have a meeting about it. He gave him an order.
Red Riker has no...
This is why you never do what I tell you, Rob.
Red Riker has no... Like, why does he think it's dangerous? He has no idea if it's dangerous or not. He hasn't been there for 8 years.
Red Riker, sent Thomas right over.
That's right. That was a potential title for...
Nice.
Couldn't quite find it.
So Troy comes into our room, and we do have a sound clip here.
Computer, valerian root tea, hot.
I thought she was going to get chocolate. I was waiting for the chocolate order.
I was like, what's a dessert? And she's like, nope, I'm centered. I want to think about these things. That's what I thought. I was like,
well, what I took from that, I always thought that was a quirk of Picard, but apparently these replicators have a problem with giving lukewarm tea.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't hot be the default?
Yeah.
You would think. Okay. Yeah.
That's what you focused on?
That's the deep layers I'm peeling off of this onion, Bobby.
You don't know Deanne Troi at all. It's like, where's the Hot Fudge Sundae or whatever, you know, like, I was like,
yeah.
Her ex is on board. She's trying. She's got to look good.
She's never met a chocolate she didn't like. Yeah.
I really like the scavenger hunt. I thought it was really cute.
Oh, it's so sweet.
I mean, where I fall on the relationship is, you know, if they hadn't brought it up, I would have been disappointed. Like, I definitely think it needed to be addressed. It just, I wanted all the other things too, but it's a 45-minute episode. What are you going to do? I don't know. I like the relationship from here. I thought he was charming and you could see her falling for the old Riker again. It makes you think like, oh, if I had a chance to go back with a failed relationship, would I? I don't know.
Yeah. Who would you pick, Cam, of your old relationships?
Yeah. Yeah.
Honey, can you leave the room? My wife, I would go back and be with her again.
I mean, I was like, there was too often where I was just like, you know, especially the second viewing, like, go for it, Troi. You know, like, this Riker might not be his career. I think after 8 years on a planet, he might not be as career motivated. Like that.
Yeah. I think his priorities are going to be changed a little. There's no reason to think he's going to make the same choices.
And, like, I don't know. She loves her place on the Enterprise, but yeah. I think she could probably, I could imagine her.
She's willing to give it up, I think, if, like, the love happened. But what I, right. Before we go to that, how cool is Beverly in this episode?
Yes. Yeah.
Love their relationship.
Oh, I gotta go. Like, I just love Beverly in this. Like, her and Troi's relationship is so solidified by this. There's other things you see in season 6 for sure. But this one is like, bye, have fun. Yes. Text me later. Yes. I mean, I love it. I just love that.
Like, right here.
We stayed in 10 forward talking for hours. Then what happened? He walked into my quarters. Then what happened? Beverly, I'm just asking.
Legend.
Yeah, like, that's good.
It's good. Yeah. And it reminds me of, it's kind of the flip of, was it the Trill episode where they were in the spa and it was Beverly glowing and Troi was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Beverly glows in season 7 for a different reason. So. Yeah.
Glowing green.
Yeah. Get some of that inner light, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I really connected with Beverly because I am always like, a friend will come to me and I'm just like, go for it. Like, you better get with that person right now. You know, I'm the enabler. Yeah. So yeah, good to see that.
And Troi says, it's like, you're encouraging me. And Beverly's like, I thought that's what you wanted based off of the data I got from you before. And yeah. It's like, well, then tell me not to. Like, we're really good friends. You know, I love that. I think this shows you don't really see female relationships a lot on TNG at all, really. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fun to see Troi and Beverly.
Yeah. And their outfits this time are a lot better than the spandex ones. Oh.
Yeah. I still love the spandex, though. It's so classic.
I mean, I'm not complaining. But.
Yeah, yes. But I do love, and I do love always the little outfits they have for, like, Worf's lessons, you know, the little robes.
They look so comfortable.
Yeah, they're
it's
so
like,
cozy.
Man, that is, it just looks cozy as hell.
Did any of you think it was interesting that when Lieutenant Riker shows up to do his Tai Chi, and then she takes him down, and he's like, oh, Worf, blah, blah, blah. I was like, is that what you're going to say before your girlfriend? Did you? Worf.
And then she's like, Worf also taught me this.
I was like, we're starting this Worf, Deanna, and maybe, you know, Thomas triangle. Like, ooh.
I kind of like that. I was
this
like,
episode
so,
is missing so many threesome opportunities.
What's turning you on? Worf or Tai Chi? Or is it?
This is a fan fiction dream right here.
Yeah.
This
oh, my God. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, I was thinking about if this had been a Beverly and Picard episode, I would have lost my mind. Absolutely lost it. Or like,
I'd have to go buy all my panties over again.
I would not like be okay. That. Yeah.
Yeah. So concerning Beverly's question, Melissa on our Twitter did say, did Deanna and Thomas sleep together? I'm always on the fence about it.
Fuck yes. 100%.
So not before this.
Oh,
but yeah, there's a fade out at the end of the scene.
Yeah, I think that's when.
Come on, you know my answer. No,
Rob, come on. Even you can't deny there was some D and D.
It'd be too weird. Troi's too. Troi doesn't want to. She hasn't talked to Riker about it yet, or about to Will, you know. She needs to get Will's blessing first. You know?
It's better to ask forgiveness than permission. That's Troy's philosophy.
How does Thomas know Tai Chi in this?
Self-taught.
I have a lot of time.
Yeah. Can you teach yourself specific moves?
I mean, he did have a computer on the outpost.
True. Okay. He had YouTube.
I think that's what was in the database. That's what was so important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guarantee they probably didn't go to quarters. They fucked right
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah. Right. I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
That's their vibe.
It's where anyone can walk in. Yeah.
Yeah. And Thomas has been waiting for 8 years and dreaming about her.
Yeah. He's been thinking about her.
This is his dream come true. And
Good point.
She was not walking straight the next day. I'm sorry. No.
I don't know. But Troy doesn't want to lead him on. That'd be cruel.
She was the one who initiated all of that. And that's what I love. Like, she takes him down and she starts making out with him. And then in the next scene, this is why I think they totally bang. She has her, like, OG outfit on with the cleavage. Uniform is off. And she's, like, all collarbone. And she's like, hey, babe, how's it going? You know?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's in her yoga outfit because she had a nice time. And she's trying to show Tom. I'm here for you.
I really wish they had had that scene of them making it on the gym floor, and then Worf and Data came in and just had that exact same scene from the end of the episode right there.
Yes,
just that same talk watching them.
My only, you guys are forgetting. There's a deleted scene where Thomas talks about how he lost his penis on the planet. So there's no way he could have consummated it
because
he
had a
terrible act.
There's other ways you could do it, though.
That would have been funny because then the conversation with Beverly before that would have been really different. Oh, Deanna, sorry. When I checked him out,
he's not fully functional.
Oh yeah, Bev would have told him. Yeah, she would have.
But Rob, why do you have to ruin like the least sex scene of sex scene stuff? Like you're gonna do that on this? Like this is romance. Yeah, but God,
I would like to go back very briefly and talk about the just that Riker and Troy pulled a Fivel in the scene before this, where they're looking at the same.
Yes, yes.
Somewhere.
She absolutely did, yeah.
Out there.
Because Riker pulled a Fivel, and then it turns out Troy was also Fiveling.
And then just a trombone solo in the middle of somewhere out there.
But he screws it up. He can never get the solo right.
Never hit it right. But I wanted to go back to the Tai Chi because Troy and Yellow Riker are enjoying the Klingon Tai Chi so much that I thought they were going to start playing Hoop and Stick next. Little Birthright Part 2 reference for you, the kids.
Hey, there we go.
Right. Okay.
I think they did.
They did play some Hoop and Stick. Exactly. There we go.
So which one do you think was the hoop? Who was the stick?
I don't know. I don't care. Like,
I think there may have been some pegging going on that night.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Even better.
I'm okay with that. It's the other. It's heterosexual sex that I don't care
about. Oh, yeah.
Wait. I guess it's still heterosexual. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Rob loves pegging. I just want to make that clear.
Let me say it. We'll get that clean so we can get it. Right.
We should go back to the Riker Picard scene because Picard has been so checked out these past few episodes. Like this one for sure, but like if last episode he wanted nothing to do with the spiritual and political tug of war happening in the Klingon Empire on his ship. Just didn't care.
Nope.
Of course, you know, Beverly was caught up in like a potential murderer. Didn't care. Right. Here, like your best friend basically is clearly going through an existential crisis, and you're just like, yeah, go talk to him.
There should have been a Picard speech.
I was thinking Patrick Stewart had something else going on, and he was like, peace out, guys. I'm going to tune in at the 25-minute mark, and that's it. You know?
Well, LeVar Burton directed this episode. What we don't know is Patrick Stewart was the DP. He had to shoot himself.
He was like, to the left. Yeah.
That's weird. I could have sworn Deanna was the DP in this episode.
I was going to say, the two Rikers wanted some DP.
John T. Bowles!
I gotta go.
Well, there's a reason in the poker game that Beverly and Deanna are missing.
Yeah.
Why aren't they there? Because you can't have that scene if they're there because they're already colluding girlfriends, which is like an old like trope about women. But... that was my mercy, attempt. But it's kind of weird to me. Like, why isn't Beverly at the game?
Yeah.
I know, every time the women don't come to the game.
And I couldn't help but watch Worf throughout this whole scene because, yes. I mean, Data is obviously emotionless. And so he understands, like, from a distance, like, the mm-hmm. awkwardness of this interaction. But Worf is fully like, what? Like, this guy just walked in. I just felt like he was so, like, I fold. Can I leave?
Yeah, the folding scene killed me. Like,
here it is.
Tension. Done. Yeah.
You control the bet, Lieutenant. 50. Fold.
That's his only line.
No. Like, it was within the same second Dorn. He said 50. Fold. I got
He's like, I'm going to get up and leave.
But this poker, if you were talking about this having subtle, this poker scene, I actually liked this. I didn't really see that much subtle.
Again, you got to project it. Like, it's there from the premise, and you kind of have to inject it into it.
But this poker scene was on the surface, like, not subtle at all.
Right.
I play my hand differently. Oh, playing it safe, are we?
Yeah, I wanted this to be another kind of like, it started out friendly, and then, again, the tension, agreed. Like, you know, someone like said something wrong.
Like, once
they
start raising bets or something,
instead of mean mugging from for a second, you know.
But I wanted Commander Riker to lose, and Lieutenant Riker folded.
Well, Commander Riker's had a lot more poker practice lately.
Maybe Thomas is playing with the computer.
I
don't know. Thomas storms out like they're like little big brother, little brother. This he's like.
I was thinking
he says, "You always had it better and everything." Like, what do you? You don't know that. You didn't get stuck on a planet. Like,
you always had the better hand in everything.
Always what? You've known him 22 hours.
Literally. Yeah.
Well, he didn't get stranded on a planet for 8 years. I mean, I get the bitterness. I get the chip on his shoulder.
But he doesn't know that there might, that like, he says you've always had it better, but the record could be like, you know, I just was locked in an institution a week ago.
Right.
It was not a great time.
All Yellow Riker knows is what he read in the file, which is like, he was offered his command and he rejected it. Oh, he had a chance with Deanna and he blew it. Not, of course, realizing that he would have done the exact same things in his shoes.
And Red Riker could be like, well, I was in a coma one time and I had all these flashbacks to previous episodes. Yes. Like, I had a rough time at two. Not everything was all.
I had a clip show brain virus for a while.
Like, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I got stuck by a plant. Yeah.
Got stuck. Yeah.
I got sexually assaulted by Lilith from Cheers.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. True.
They make me wear the like wildest wardrobes on Risa. You have no idea, Lieutenant Riker. Like the shit they make me wear. Okay.
All right.
Since we don't have an IMDb minute this episode, I would say. Yeah. The discussion of where Picard has been, he was either filming the movie Detonator with Pierce Brosnan, or the movie Gunman with Christopher Lambert, or I'm going to choose to believe it was his cameo role in Robin Hood Men in Tights, because those are all what came out about the same time.
Yes.
One of those is memorable.
I like Picard's like subtle like, I hope he works it out. But not my problem. Like, there's so much other shit to deal with. Like, this planet thing.
What is happening on his ship is amazing. And, like, he is just not concerned in the slightest.
I think he's like, I think I let go of the social relationship boundary piece professionally or something because shit's getting wild.
I did think during that scene with Picard and Riker that because Picard chooses to go with Thomas's plan, which is to go down in the depths that are like kind of sketchy. And he basically says the data is worth the risk or the database is worth the risk. And isn't that just like the Starfleet dream? Like, do you want to risk your life for some data? Like, let's you know?
I would only risk my life for Data the android, I think.
Yeah.
There
you go.
100%.
It would be funny if in that scene Picard was like, oh, and Riker, have you ever thought about growing your beard out more fully? It would look good.
I kind of like the foreshadowing of that. It was like, that's a better plan. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's weird that you would also send both of them down there. I think that's a illogical choice because if I was any of the Rikers, Lieutenant Commander would be like, here's my chance. Like, I haven't watched this forever. So I was like, does Lieutenant Riker kill Commander Riker? Does he take, did I miss this?
When they go back into that cavern, I was like, is someone going to get prestiged here? Because, that's how that scene read.
I thought Will has some murderous intent, kind of, with Thomas. Right.
Where and you don't know who's like, got it out for who. Like,
or, and I've seen the show like 5 times, and I was like, oh my God, wait, does... And I was like, wait, you idiot, of course not. But I was also surprised that Lieutenant Riker also survives, you know? Like, I was like, interesting.
The ion radiation leak, I couldn't tell the point of that until like a couple minutes after. Yeah. I thought, is Thomas trying to murder Will? Like, he's purposefully leaking this radiation? Because Will, he just like touches a button and it's fixed.
Oh, it's
not. So, like, how did Thomas not know?
That's where that brother energy comes in, where he's just like, oh, come on.
There's like that, which way do you want me to go? Well, you've been on here a lot. I think you could tell me. And I was like, oh God, watch out for the boulder. Well, I mean, even though I've seen this so many times, I'm still waiting for that. Although I was like waiting for Riker fight.
Well, and then a little Riker on Riker action.
It's unfortunate that they do that because they're like, oh, we have to show that Commander Riker has matured in his last 8 years and is more driven and knows that you have to do what's required to get the job done to like stop the radiation and stuff. It's like Thomas Riker was alone for 8 years. He learned. Yeah. He obviously embodies that same exact principle. Yeah. And now all of a sudden he's acting as petulant as Will Riker is.
Like, it would have been it would have been better if if Commander Riker would have been the one that like, oh, help me off the broken bridge. That would have been like, because it was opposite. Like,
Riker had to save Yellow Riker because Red Riker had the most animosity. No,
Yellow Riker would be like, this is my chance to kill Red Riker. I'm going to say Lieutenant Commander. It's better for my brain. Like, he could have, that would have been a better scene, I think, for like for fans to be like, oh no, he's going to take over Commander Riker's position and fuck the shit of Deanna Troi. Well, at least we'll see a relationship with Deanna Troi. You know, but then it was opposite. And I was like, well, there's not as much to lose if Commander Riker lets Lieutenant Riker peace out, enjoy. And also, Lieutenant Riker, how amazing for him to say, let me go. One of us has to live.
Both of them learned something about the other one there.
But don't you think it would have been more dramatic if it was the other way around?
No.
No?
Because, I mean, because Red Riker had the most animosity. If you thought one of them was going to kill the other one, it would be Red Riker killing Yellow. So he had to be the one to save him.
I'll say this. I kind of disagree with that because Red Riker, that's not in his character. It could be in Yellow Riker's character because he could have gone crazy.
Take the woman, take the position, all the power, number one. Come on.
Well, but you're making it sound like he had these thoughts for 8 years. He didn't know there was another Riker. He just thought thought he was dead.
He needed was 8 days to think about Deanna.
It's been like 16 hours.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Like, he could see like the possible thing he could step into as the double, the
right, and being alone for 8 years, you might be a little less you might be a little more murderous.
You're saying it's more dramatic to see Red Riker being like, I might drop you, fuck you, Lieutenant Riker, but instead he doesn't even like there's not even a moment where he's like hanging on by a pinky and he's like, could I let go? No, instead Riker's like, climb.
It's all he says.
Like, he doesn't even hesitate. So the reverse, I think, would have been more interesting because Lieutenant Riker could have seen that like ominous, oh no, forearm slip, you know, like, and then Lieutenant Riker could have said, climb. I think they missed a moment there, in my opinion. Sorry, fans, you can't see me acting out pantomime. Oh,
yeah, she's got the whole, it's like I'm watching the scene. It's amazing. Yeah.
Just picture like cliffhanger stuff. But I think it would have been more dramatic and interesting if it had been reverse. Because Lieutenant Riker has every reason to let Commander Riker, peace out, brother. Enjoy that hole you're going to fall into. And I'm going to enjoy the hole I'm going to fall into tonight.
But he had already won Deanna. Like, he's not envious. He doesn't want to take Riker's place because he doesn't like where Riker's taken his life.
There's more danger. There's more drama if Yellow Riker is holding on to Red Riker. Because, nobody would imagine Red Riker letting go, really.
All I know is that when I see a bridge in Star Trek, I get nervous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ashlyn, what is with bridges and Star Trek? Jeez.
It does not go well.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
It's not called Bridge Trek.
Yeah. You'd think that they would figure out bridges by now.
Yeah. They spend so much time on one, so.
Hey. Right.
You'd think they'd have, like, turbo packs on their back. They don't even need a bridge.
Literally just ready for any situation.
Yeah.
Who needs bridges? Yeah.
Transport us across the bridge when you, like, put us down. Like,
So back when Riker and Troy have their Red Riker and Troy have their conversation, I like it. It's a reminder of, you know, Riker's relationship with her. And we've got the line here, his warnings.
That's not what I'm talking about. If he had gotten off the planet instead of me, don't you think he would have made the same choices that I made?
99% absolutely.
Getting off a planet is now a life goal of mine.
There's a 90% chance that Lieutenant Riker would have done the exact same things, at least.
100% chance. They're the same person.
Yeah, I really do think 8 years of solitude would make you change 100%. Your priorities.
Yeah.
Maybe even 100% flip your priorities. Like, I can't imagine being alone for 8 years then wanting to suddenly get back into, like, oh, I want to go back to college.
Right.
That was shocking. Yeah. Honestly, that Thomas chose this path.
And also, like, if you were to interpret, I mean, there one way you could look at Red Riker's animosity is that he's like, oh yeah, that was back at a time when I thought I was going to give it all up for love. And look at me now. I'm freaking Commander Riker. This guy's got to take his career. And that's why he's so hostile to Yellow Riker. It's like, No. You need to focus on your career.
But that's why, like, when Lieutenant Riker's like, you could have been captain, suck a dick. He was like, oh, wow. So you lost Deanna and you didn't take a captainship? What are you doing with our life?
If anybody is allowed to criticize Will Riker for that, it's Thomas Riker. I mean,
yeah.
Yes.
Like, he is literally the only person.
Except, he would have made the exact same choice if he had beamed off.
It is a really good conundrum. It is.
But yeah, it is. Because, you got to think, like, just because if someone didn't have the opportunity to make a bad choice that you know they would make in that opportunity, are they free of the blame? No. Like, there's.
This is not Minority Report. This is not Gattaca. Yeah. Like, you have to still do the thing before you can be, consequentially responsible for the thing.
That's fair.
It's not fair to say you would probably do it. I mean, yes, that's true. Like, And probably maybe 9 out of 10 times or 9.9 out of 10 times that would happen. But there's always that statistical chance that Yellow Riker would have chosen something different.
Well, obviously, because with the passion with which he delivers this next line.
After I've served for 6 months, I'm eligible to bring family aboard. If we got married.
You said those exact words to me before you went to serve on the Potemkin.
Yeah, well, no, what, like, is that a proposal? Did he just propose in the worst possible way
worst
ever?
Worst way.
And in the most Worf way. Oh, they sleep together once and now it's time to pull out the wedding ring? Come on. That's a Worf move, Riker.
Literally.
Yeah, just because you did a romantic scavenger hunt doesn't mean you have to give me I need a real proposal.
I mean, that is a small town, impoverished, I got into the military, marry me for benefits kind of proposal. Good God.
Yeah. Oh. He immediately starts to backslide into Red Riker.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I got this opportunity for this thing. It's I got to go to this ship. Like, there's nothing that says that he could say, I'm not going to take that promotion. I'm going to stay here with you. I love you. I want to work this out. I want to make up for the 8 years I lost with you. You have this 8 years, but, like, let's do it, Deanna. And you know what that would mean? No TNG, but still, like, he had the choice to say.
Weirder TNG.
Yeah.
He can't stay.
He had the choice.
He can't stay on the, I don't think, I mean, I think he can't stay on the Enterprise no matter what.
I think Picard should have been like, you can't stay on the Enterprise.
No.
The character had the choice to say, I will not take this promotion. Will you marry me? And Deanna could have said, again, I'm talking about all the drama points the show missed. Deanna could have said, I can't. I built this life that I'm really proud of in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I would have think that would have been a powerful moment for her, Deanna, to say.
But why would she reject him? Why wouldn't she say, yeah, okay, great, stay here with me?
And what she could have said was, why don't you stay here and see where our relationship goes? And then he could have said, I can't pass up this
Yeah.
There is a career opportunity. And then that would have been the repeat Riker.
Yeah.
That would have been the thing she would have expected Riker to do, Red Riker, and then Yellow Riker would have done the same things he would have done.
Well, I don't know. Saying, sorry, babe, I got to go take this job in New York. And sorry, babe, I can't live so close to my weird ass clone that gives me an existential crisis are two different excuses. Right. Yeah.
But there is one thing she could have said to both of them to make her choice. We're going on a vacation with my mother. And whoever reacted better.
Like. The fact that this does not have a Lil Wuxana reference is definitely a point out away from it. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that line where she says, you said the same thing to me before, like when you were on the Potemkin, I think that is what clenches it. Because she's like, I'm literally getting the rigmarole again. So no matter what he says, even if he was like, I'll stay with you, she's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, sir. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Well, so two things. I think, I mean, I agree, like, when this scene happened, I thought it was a little easy. I feel like Yellow Riker would have had different priorities after 8 years. So I thought it was kind of weird that he made this choice, and it just gave Troy like easy out dramatically. But to Ashlyn's point, like Star Trek has fate, and if it's fated that this was supposed to happen this way, then that's going to happen this way.
Yeah, Riker's got this built into him, like
it's what's the time travel? Like it's an emphasis point or something, like it can't change.
Yeah. Right. Inflection point.
Inflection point, thank you.
Well, I mean, you have one more line for us here, and I think it's one of the funniest lines in the whole episode.
Lieutenant, I am curious about something. If you met a double of yourself, would you have difficulty interacting with him?
I don't know, Data, since you're the first character that happened to in this series, how did you feel?
I was thinking about that. I think because Laura's so different, it's like a bit different circumstances, but I was literally cracking up at that, like thinking of him talking to himself and how, at least at the beginning, he thought Laura and him were going to be very similar. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's so funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, how would you all feel about meeting a version of yourself? I would probably be in the Riker camp. Like, I do not want to be around me. I would just see all my flaws.
Yeah, I think we'd party at first and then it'd be awful from there. Like, we'd have fun for like a day and then I feel like we'd start butting heads. And it's exactly what Data is talking about, what both Worf and Data are talking about, is the fact that like it's so hard to see those flaws that you don't like in yourself reflected, you know? And that's absolutely, I think, what a lot of us would feel for sure.
I thought that was pretty profound for Worf, actually.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
I thought it was a great point. I think the farther back you go, if it were literally a how long ago did we split off from ourselves, the further back, the harder it would be to interact with that person, with that version of myself. Like, if it was today, it's like, okay, you could probably figure it out, but 5 years ago, 10 years ago, like there's a certain point so far back that it's like, oof, that is some, I mean, it's pure therapy in person. Like, here we go.
But at least I could look at them and go like, oh, at least I grew up. If you're like seeing the flaws in your current self, you're like, oh, am I like that now? Like,
I know that's,
see, there's two different, like, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think we would have too much fun. Like two Ashlyns, like we would be bad influences on each other. I think it would go south really quick.
It would definitely be lots of fucking with friends, for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's not that simple because we see that in each other. When we find people that annoy us, it's probably something, a characteristic that annoys, that's something you'd like to change yourself. So twinship or the mirrorship, looking at the others, mostly looking at yourself, not to go so deep. And I don't even know if I am, or if like people would be confused.
Well, people that annoy me, usually I'm like, they should be more like
well,
me.
Well, that's the alpha perspective.
Yeah. No, I think that's how,
Not that I'm like, oh, this person's doing what I want to do, but it bothers me though. I'm always like, they should be more patient like me or more, you know, or fun loving.
So one thing that I kind of kept, I don't know if I was grading on it, but like, we've, of course, talked a lot about what is Riker and Troy's relationship, and they are definitely not just friends. All we've at least seen a few episodes where they are more than friends.
No, that's
what's that they do end up getting together. So, I mean, it's my headcanon that, like, Troy still loves Red Riker, and even though Yellow Riker kind of reminds her of a, you know, the young, fresh, naive relationship they had, they do have something deeper and more important now, and has the sense that there will be something in the future for them.
Yeah, but I bet Red Riker can't fuck her like Yellow Riker just did.
Well, but like, he's the same age. I mean, it's not like he's stayed 8 years younger, so.
He's stayed 8 years fonder.
But Will's in practice, and I don't think Thomas is in practice.
Red Riker's learned some tricks from some aliens that...
Mm-hmm. Hey, he's been singing up to a moon and stars in the universe, and so is she, evidently. Yeah.
But she also has had 8 years to process his betrayal, his choosing his career, and all of a sudden she's talking to him right at the moment where he did it to her. So I can understand why she would be somewhat like, why she is so brusque with you. This is the same question you asked me. It's like, yeah, to him, like she is talking to him without those 8 years of friendship in between. Mm-hmm. And she remembers how he made her feel.
That's profound. But did you say did it to her?
Yeah.
Did everyone miss my getting off a planet joke earlier? Because I made a really good joke about getting mm-hmm. off a planet. No. Like getting a planet. No, okay. All right. I'm just making sure.
Some of your jokes aren't funny. I mean,
that one though, I understand. I'm not arguing you there.
Open a poll on Twitter and see what people liked it.
Yes. Yes. I think some of my favorite moments are those Will Riker and Troy scenes, like when he's warning her, hey, you know, this, I know what I was like back then, so just be careful. And I truly think that this episode, because we're right at the end of season six, I mean, Troy and Riker's the slowest burn of all time because it's not, you know, canonical, it's episodic. And so we get these little slivers throughout the series. And Riker, I think this is his awakening into starting to like Troy again, because he's flattered. He says that she's into right. Lieutenant Riker. And I think something is stirring for him. He's like, oh, geez, you know, this is happening again for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If someone broke up with me for my twin, I think I'd be the opposite of, like, that would be the worst breakup, right?
I'd be like, no, I know, but they're very friendly this whole time. I don't know. Like, they hold hands at the end.
Well, isn't that fun that it's not an evil twin thing? It's like, no, that's right. you sort 8 years ago.
Yeah.
In a totally different 8 years experience. That's totally different than an evil twin, which I think is great because evil twin is such a trope.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something I think is interesting is I think the writers really were trying to focus on Will Riker's arc in this, mm-hmm. you know, like that's why we didn't get as much like juiciness from Thomas mm-hmm. in these certain angles is because the writers are really trying to hit home. This is Riker's growing arc. We're starting, like you said, Ashlyn, we're starting to see, you know, wrapping up a little bit of these characters as season six is going on. And I think that's their push a little bit, but I think they were pushing too hard. And there's so much benefit in exploring both Thomas and Will and not just spending like all of this energy on Will putting out this anger and putting out this like angst towards Thomas just for his like little baby growth arc at the end when he saves him. Like it just doesn't feel as satisfying for me because of that focus.
Yeah.
I almost had the opposite thought, but maybe it's the same where I thought maybe one of the problems with the episode is there are kind of three main characters. Like, is it a Will episode, a Thomas episode, right. or a Troy episode? It's kind of all three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of muddled from scene to scene who we're supposed to be viewing the episode through.
And if, like we said earlier, if it had been a two-parter, like, they could have taken the time to not have Will be so just volatile with his emotional swings. It's like, yeah, you finish this whole arc of exploring his background and his character. At the end of the second episode, you have him pinning the promotion pip on on Thomas, and you have him sending him off to his career the way he did. And then you have him and Troy not like do a romantic thing, but like go off to have a dinner together or something, like, you know, like the difference of choices.
I was thinking maybe what I would have done is put more of the episode, like have Riker and Troy trapped on the planet with Thomas. So it's just the three of them. So you don't have this awkward like, what do we do with another you that doesn't play very well in the episode? And then like, and then you can really get the drama with all three of them there, and then they can come back. And maybe the second episode is them getting rescued and coming up and like having to deal with everything in society. Kind of almost like Castaway kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think they make Commander Riker kind of look like a douche. Like he goes back to like he's 9 years old, and all they've done in season six is try to promote his tenacity and intelligence. And also with Deanna, who shows total capacity of professionalism. I think it's a weird thing to say like this shows like Riker, and I was like, I don't know, he kind of like, I'm going back to my room. I'm playing poker. Like he looks like a child to me in a lot of ways.
Well, that's a good point, because I feel like the last time we saw him do that was season one with like the weird plague boyfriend or whatever. Boyfriend didn't have the plague, but he went to go live on the plague ship. When he stormed off and was all petulant in the holodeck and I feel like Riker's grown since then. So it does feel like a step backwards.
I agree with you because I don't want to watch bitchy Riker but also this is a very unique situation that anybody might not handle emotionally. It's hard to say how one might handle it.
Oh yeah, I'd be bitchy as hell.
Right.
I were meeting myself. Yeah.
Yeah. We just had Thanksgiving, right? And like, there's the thing, there's a term for it. I forget it. Maybe one of you know where when you get back with your family, you kind of revert to those relationship dynamics.
Oh.
And so.
Yeah. Oh, just the family rules.
Yeah. So, I mean, this could be a very similar kind of triggering.
And it's not the rolls with the gravy and butter. It's
pass the rolls. Pass the family rolls.
Well, and Riker, you think about all the way at the beginning of the episode when Troy's like, play Nightbird. He's a completely different Riker from the beginning to the end. Like, true. I don't see that same man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm glad that TNG tackled this kind of episode first, because for what's to come and for all of Star Trek, any other, and we see proof of this, any of the other series after TNG getting into the late 90s, this would have ended with one of them sacrificing themselves for the
other. I thought that's
this
how
would
it was
have end. Every time ended in a noble sacrifice. And the fact that TNG didn't do that, I think, really helped. One, it set up a Lower Decks plot line. It set up all kinds of stuff where it wasn't just always, oh, there's two of us, one of us has to nobly die. Thank you. This continues on, and I'm glad they're like, no, why would we kill one of them off? There's just two Rikers now. Go for it.
And Jonathan Frakes was probably like, fuck yeah, I got possible double roles in the Star Trek multiverse. Wow! I can be Thomas. I can be Wiltie. I can be what you want.
Thomas is my favorite loose end, I think, in all of Star Trek. Like, he could be anywhere doing anything. I love it.
Yeah. Without spoiling anything for Cameron, I will say he's in a lot of novels.
I would guess that. Really? I would guess. Yeah, that seems like prime novel territory. I'd love to see like an animated, like what Yellow Riker got up to on the planet. Like, that would be a fun kind of
movie. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my last note is more pomegranates. Troy also has pomegranates in her room. It's pomegranate season on the Enterprise.
Well, that's because it takes some work, but you can get to the seeds and they are delicious once you work to get to them.
any other thoughts before we get to our listeners' thoughts?
I do have one thought. This kind of reminds me of the X-Files episode, Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
Yep. Yes.
We're like, Mulder and Scully, because they're like, Mulder and Scully finally kiss. And you're like, and you had to like tune in on Sunday, Monday, whatever day it was at the time. But Fox is kissing basically Grandma Scully. So kind of reminded me of how you can still play with the viewer's heart, even though it's not the exact same person, but it still deepens relationships. I mean, even in Scully, I'm sorry I brought up X-Files again, but I was like, oh, so disappointed in that. And viewers, I think, wanted to see more of this. So even though it might be disappointing to be like, oh, she fucked Yellow Riker.
Oh, yeah. TV shows always pull the rug on.
I have so many angry moments from the late 90s and where I was like, fuck you, Chris Carter. Like, really? Totally. Like, so much so, I want to get a tattoo. Fuck you, Chris Carter.
Okay, but do it in the same font as they do at the end of every episode. Fuck you, Chris Carter.
You made me want to believe. Fuck you, Chris Carter. You know? And what's cool about this is that it's kind of the same idea. It's like, well, that's not him. That's not him. But you get so much backstory and romance and play.
Yeah, it's more him than almost every other clone, twin, whatever sci-fi episode there
is.
Is Riker for every intent and purpose.
I don't know another movie or show that really does it like this.
It's not Yellow Riker. Grandpa is not fucking Troy.
No, it's like this is the same person. Yeah.
Thanks for my X-Files rant. You can cut it out if you want.
Processors, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the ending is always like just so bizarre to me. The fact that Thomas just grabs Deanna, kisses her in front of Will. It's so possessive and gross, and then goes, take care of her. I'm like, I fucking hate that shit of the take care of the woman thing. Mm-hmm. It's so like, ugh, it's just like classic Rick Berman and his sexist writing. Like whoever was writing this episode or just in general.
Or she could have done the Klingon move on him, like back when she probably fucked him, like the, and she'd be like, not today.
They're like, no, we're done.
Yellow
like,
Will, not today.
Yeah. So you know? I just, and then it just, the credits roll. I'm like, okay, that was gross and weird. And I just have a weird feeling now. Like, okay, good episode, I guess.
They use Troy like that constantly. Yeah,
constantly.
It's so disappointing.
Especially by season six. I'm just so over it, you know?
You think they'd be.
I did like the trombone moment because I was like, oh, yeah, that would be his shit. That's true. Like, does he have a lucky pair of underwear that he's like, hey, I need that.
Can I have those?
I've been thinking about that for 8 years.
It would have been really cool if they played together and did the solo.
But it would be a duet.
Practice together.
Or would it be a solo?
Well, maybe together. Maybe in 10 years he couldn't do it, but together they could do it for the first time.
No. We just have like Thomas is just waiting to hit the last note and Will's just going for it.
Like, I got you.
Yeah, he's like, I'm totally warmed up. I got it. Don't worry.
So, Ashlyn and Rihanna, did you ever use this episode in one of your or any of your series?
Yeah, a couple actually.
We were talking about this.
I could see it showed up in
a
few. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we did it in. For sure, First Officers. I think Family, too, just because it's confusing.
Close enough. Mm. And Love and Affection.
Love and Affection.
Okay. Yeah, for sure, because of all that. Nice. Yeah. So it got around, for sure. Yeah,
we're on Twitter. A few comments on this one. Previous guest Wes says, I found the Tom Riker character fascinating. I'd highly recommend a book called Imzadi 2 for more insight into his character. There you go, Rob. Yeah. Damon, for you, loved this episode and ended up giving us a great DS9 episode. Oh, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
Michelle, of course, reason 1593 why transporters are terrifying. Frakes and Marina shine in this one. A nice look at the Riker-Troy pairing. Bev's advice is telling. Basically, if Will isn't stepping up, why not hang out with his clone? Wonder if there's a Picard transporter clone out there somewhere.
Oh, I wish.
Does make sense for Bev's advice. Be like, you got to take this if you get an opportunity.
Maybe Bev knows something we don't know.
Jen at Season Girl says, love this episode because I was always a Troy Riker fan. It was nice to get some of their history. Kind of sad, though, that Troy basically gets left again. Macy Jemison is also in this episode. She's a real astronaut.
Yeah. Mm. How cool is that?
Yeah. Rob, how are we going to rate it?
I've got some options. Let's see. We could rate it on 1 to 10 trombone mouthpieces. Balls of Riker beard hair, Wilson and friends.
How many centimeters is your Wilson ball hair ball?
Yeah, yeah. A scale of 1 to 8 years on stranded alone on a planet. Number of phaser carved porn pictures that you made.
These are good, yeah.
Number of scavenger hunt clues. Scavenger hunt chocolate clues.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Or minutes of Geordi screen time from 0 to 1. pomegranates, and then ounces of Riker pee.
I like scavenger hunt clues.
I like scavenger hunt.
Yeah, that's really good.
But they don't realize that they're choosing that because romance wins. And that was a really romantic scavenger hunt. And okay, now let's destroy it.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go first.
It's a really tough one because, again, I like the premise so much and just feel like the execution kind of missed how good it could be. I think you guys have helped me kind of put my finger on a lot of the reasons. Definitely just you want a Riker episode to be more fun. Even like I think I said on the episode, Frame of Mind was kind of fun because you never felt too much tension. And I don't know.
Kind of fun.
It was fun to watch. But I think the more you watch it, the more you can kind of like glean from it, even if you're putting a lot in. I'm going to say a seven. I mean, it's a good watch. It's not a boring watch. I love the history you get about Riker and Troy and pretty good performances all around. I'd go through 7 clues and then say, fuck those last 3.
Yeah. I'll just say, right. Samesies. Maybe I bet 6. Such a great premise, and I'm disappointed that it didn't pay off better.
It's a bit soap opera-y for you, Rob.
That's true. But I think there could have been soap opera, and if it just wasn't, if every single Red Riker scene wasn't Red Riker being a total dickhole, I would have been fine. Yeah. Like, I would have been better off if he wasn't 100% unlikable in almost the entire episode.
Yeah.
Bobby, what you got?
Rob, I'm with you.
I'm going to go last this time.
Okay.
Oh. Rihanna?
Yeah, Rob, I'm with you. Yeah, I put a 6 as well. I feel like it's definitely, because 5 is like where, you know, you take it or leave it kind of thing. It's like, it's not terrible. I will watch it. But 6 is a little bit more for me. It's like, okay, like if, say, I mean, not that I have cable, but like say it were on, you know, like I would definitely watch it. Or if I'm like, I do this a lot where I randomize Star Trek episodes, or I have my fiance like, pick a random number, and then, you know, whatever that number that is, I'll watch the episode. So if that happens and second chances come on, great, I'll watch it. Like, and I'll be pretty happy about it. But I'm not like seeking it out. I'm not like rewatching it over and over. I'm not picking it apart and looking at all these different angles, like, because there's so much that doesn't capture me the way I wanted it to, like you're all saying, because the plot premise is so good and just like some missed opportunities. So I'm
picturing
you.
You have like a rack. I can't remember what we called them in elementary school, the paper things where you fold it away.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, totally. Okay, first one, pick TOS. All right, next one. Just
that's actually,
is that a cootie catcher?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's cootie catchers.
Oh, yeah.
That's one.
Yeah. I think there's
that's
another
kind of genius, honestly. Like, like first like the series, then the season.
12 of them lined up to pick one of 900 episodes. Yeah,
it's great. It's kind of a good method, though, because my partner, I'll just be like, okay, 1 through 10, and then she picks a series, and then okay, one through seven if it's, you know, a 7. So it's just nice, because then it's like, that's out of my hands, whatever I get, even if it's a terrible episode.
It was destined. Yeah.
I'll tell you real quick, cootie catcher is also has been called a salt seller, like cellar, like underground, a fortune teller,
origami fortune teller,
bug catcher, chatterbox, whirlybird, or paku paku, which is a Japanese phrase for gobbling that's also lent its name to Pac-Man.
Huh. I think fortune teller was what I grew up with.
Yeah.
They catch things.
Interesting.
That was the Alaskan term, apparently.
Yeah.
Ashlyn?
Yeah.
They didn't have origami in Alaska, so.
A lot of my thoughts are similar. For me, my only complaint, like, I would love a two-parter of this, because I think we could get more in-depth, like, we would have more Will Riker, maybe some more Picard. Like, so the pacing for me was, I think, my biggest problem, is I felt like we took too long setting up the romance. But also, like, that is the, like, previous history between Troy and Riker, so it is interesting, but I just feel like I paused it at the end and I was like, okay, we have like 20 more minutes. There was 5 minutes to go. It's oh my Lord. Like this, it's almost done. Like it's wrapping up too quickly for me, but I'm still going to give it a 7 because I absolutely love Riker episodes. And I will say, like, I have seen this one a lot, and the first couple times, the macho stuff just drives me nuts. But I'm thinking more about like Will Riker and what he's going through. I really like this episode. So I'm gonna say it was a good solid 7 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the macho stuff is kind of like when two alphas go against each other, like Rob and John. So I'm used to that.
Yeah,
sort of.
Sure.
No, Cam, you said two alphas. Who besides me?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I don't even have to. Alpha wouldn't bother.
It's me. I'm the other alpha.
All right. Give us your rating, Alpha.
John, you listen to my commands. I'm out of here.
Well, you know, honestly, my ranking has dropped significantly because I want to like believe in like, I'd love a backstory, which we don't get a lot sometimes in TNG or Star Trek in general. Sometimes we're like, do the thing, especially when you know a whole series. But in retrospect, I really appreciate what our guest host had to say. And I'm going to give it a 4 only because it really missed what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm giving 4.
Okay.
Sorry. I have to. Like, I was going to give it a 7, but I was like, it's not a 7.
John, even though your score will be, you know, dropped into a pit by me, erasing your browser history, what are you going to give it?
I'm right with a bunch of, I'm going to give it a 6 because it is like the potential episode. And I know we're looking back 30 years later. I get that it's hard to disconnect that, but it's still, there was a better episode back in 1993 also. I mean, if you told me write this episode again all the same plot points have to happen. You can't change, you know, you can't have a sacrifice, nothing like that. Like, there would have been a conversation between Will and Deanna as soon as Thomas was on board. Like, hey, how should we deal with this? Like, just right. Like there is a better episode in there. Yeah. I mean,
well, and all of Riker's friends would have had better scenes. Like, what the fuck is Data thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, what is Worf thinking? What is Jordy thinking?
What if Data likes Thomas better than, or, you know, any of them?
I do think it's hilarious if you just watch this episode from a Worf and Data standpoint.
Yes.
They're just, they are there. They are us.
They're the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of the episode.
They're enjoying. Yeah, they got their popcorn. Yeah.
It would have been great if Red Riker had walked in and found them playing poker with Yellow Riker at some point.
Without him.
I
think Worf could have stood up and said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm only trying to find his poker face.
I can actually beat him.
I'm just trying to learn how to beat you by what your old self would have done.
Having just finished Strange New Worlds, I feel like the Strange New Worlds version of this would have been like the whole away team got doubled, and there's like the whole main cast is all doubled, and they all have to deal with like each one of them has to deal with, you know, four or five of their own doubles. Like, I feel like it would be more chaotic and fun. How's the Twitter poll, Cameron?
Yeah, the Twitter poll. So 21% gave it a 9 or 10, loved it. 64% gave it 7 or 8, me and Ashlyn's territory. 11% gave it a 5 or 6, and then 4% gave it 4 or lower. All right.
IMDb is a 7.5. Mm-hmm. Mostly 8.
Mostly 8 and 7.
Interesting.
All right. Well, if you want to let us know how you would react around a clone of yours, maybe if you would have a threesome with your significant other and yourself. Hey, it's the internet. You can reveal stuff like that. Come on over at GreenShirt87 is where we're most active on Twitter.
On Facebook, Green Shirt Podcast.
Green Shirt Podcast on Instagram.
You can buy t-shirts and mugs and stickers from shirtnerdery.com/greenshirt.
Dura Sisters, where can we find more of your insightful comments?
Yeah, so we are pretty much anywhere you can find things on the internet. We are on Tumblr, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Hey, that's awesome. John's got some stickers. Yeah, we have a shop on Threadless that has just a ton of merch that you can go and check out. They're always having really cool sales, like $12 t-shirt sales and stuff. Did I miss anything, Ashlyn?
No, we're the Dura Sisters everywhere you can find us. Yeah, and that's listen awesome. To us anywhere you find your podcasts.
And we have a Patreon, so if you'd like to join, we also have reviews of Lower Decks and the animated series. And we're gearing up to do a documentary review here pretty soon. So.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Yeah. Brianna, congratulations on your engagement. Is there going to be anything Star Trek themed at the wedding?
Oh, I hope so. We haven't really thought about that. But
I'm the maid of honor, so I commit that.
Ooh, nice. Ashlyn's got it covered.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Exciting. Is Patrick Stewart going to officiate?
Oh, I hope so. We'll see if he's free. Yeah.
I'll
rifle through my contacts.
Yeah, I'll just check.
Check for Tom Riker, see what he's doing.
Hey, maybe Thomas. Yeah.
Okay. I'd be fine with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You both are so delightful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. Seriously.
Will you come back season 7?
Yeah. Have us on.
If you want us, we're here.
Yeah. Or Deep Space Nine, or I don't know.
Deep Space Nine is my favorite.
Movies. So, I don't know. Yeah. Picard. I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
Whenever we're here. So
thank you for having us. Yes.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of the future, what are we watching next, John?
Speaking of the future, we're watching Timescape next.
Ooh. Ah! That sounds like the title of an 80s movie that does not live up to its premise or poster. So I guess they discover that all the portraits in the Enterprise are time portals. They can take them back to wherever the landscape is. So, you know, like Bev goes back to save Jack and Worf goes back to save his parents. Riker goes back to make sure Thomas never gets created. Picard goes back to bang the chick in Paris. What would Picard? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a funny thing for Picard.
He dies. He just goes back and dies.
Yeah. He stabbed in the heart again. Yeah. Butterfly effect Picard. Yeah. I just love the idea of Riker making sure that never happens is literally him like saying, okay, transport me out, and then just setting a grenade, tossing it away, and then beaming out. Thomas beams in. Boom!
Done. Survived that. Fuck this planet.
Exactly.
Oh, too good. Too good.
All right. Well, you know.
Yeah, this isn't one of those where you guessed an episode right, Cam.
Okay. Good. Well, good night, bird, everybody.
Good night, bird, everybody.
Kapla!
That's right.
Kapla!
Fold.